This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That was more monotone. That was more like Gregorian chant. Right? Like, and we're back. You know? Whereas a robot would probably be like, and we're back. And we are back.
We are back.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live.
Greetings.
The telephone. No, now we're aliens, right?
That's what happened last time, too. It just gives me alien
space
vibes.
Robots.
Yeah, space robots.
You are making me very angry.
Ooh, that was a good Marvin.
Where is the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Made the producer laugh on that one.
The telephone number is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. We were kind of excited because the phones lit up a bunch. And then, like, the commercials are over and there's only one call left. So let's go to that right now. Major Payne, are you there?
Good evening. Yeah, this whole AI thing.
Yeah.
It reminds me of back in the day, there was a guy that had syphilis of the eyes.
Oh, yeah, he went blind?
No, he was looking for love in all the wrong places.
Oh, okay.
Damn it, Major.
Oh, I got another joke for you to end the night with. But here, let's get on to this AI.
Well, the night's still young. We're only an hour.
We're not holding you through that long, Major.
Elon Musk and I guess 1,000 other designers of this AI have put out a letter begging everybody to take 6 months off and not make any more progression on this fifth generation or whatever they're working on now. But
I've seen this letter that you're talking about, and it is it's become sort of a consortium, if you will, of technology companies who are like, yes, I think I would also join this team, not develop AI for a little while.
Elon Musk just wants time to catch up.
Well, and what I'm saying is, like, these companies who decide that they're not going to do that, if in fact they actually abide by that agreement. Right, so there's a question in and of itself. Maybe they agree to it, but do they actually stop? Or do they just stop releasing their findings, right? But let's just say they do. All these big tech companies are like, nope, we're going to stop. We're going to think about what we're doing before we do it. We're going to look before we leap, and that kind of thing. All that's going to do is give these other fringe tech companies who don't have the time and resources that these big tech companies do an edge in competition. So these other companies are going to continue to develop these AIs, while the ones who are like the big companies and the most popular are going, well, we'll just sit on it for a while.
And then China's going to dominate the market.
I don't know about that. But
no, if you give them 6 months, they'll steal the information.
I'm not saying the letter has standing or credibility or even basis, not bias, but Nikki, as far as this fart in the jar thing goes, think about it.
Major,
there's a thing known as a segue. If you're not familiar with it, perhaps you should
get right into it.
That was like a jump cut.
No, that was good.
I blew that one, all right? Usually I'm better at my segues, but I just had to get this one in.
Yeah, you blew it, all right.
Think about a fart in the jar. You're only going to get 3-4 good whiffs, right?
Yeah, probably.
I say sell crap in a can.
What is it?
Crap in a can.
Oh, okay.
Can.
I don't know. That's where I draw the line.
But again, market, is it supply and demand?
Is there a demand for it?
If enough money was involved.
Well, I know somebody else who's trying to sell their poop online.
A whole new generation of kids getting introduced to Jenkum.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Get you nice and high.
Maybe.
Makes you wonder
it
what
does.
The world's coming.
Yeah.
So the world has always been this way. It's just that the internet is revealing humanity at a pace that has never before been realized.
That's
maybe.
True enough. True enough.
Right? Because what I said, what I said earlier was technology kind of leads us this way, right? The internet allows for things that weren't a possible before.
Okay.
Right? Like pre-internet, if you were a lone loser, you were just a lone loser on your own.
Yeah.
Right? Now you can, like, join up in a group of lone losers and be alone together. And that was previously unattainable.
And then you could attract women who are attracted to alone losers.
Maybe.
Or robots.
Or robots.
At least back in the day, the geeks would form, like, science foundations and try to achieve something. Now they're just sitting in their mother's basement in their underwear.
I don't know.
Programming. They're coding.
Also, like, incel isn't technically, like, synonymous with someone being a nerd or being really intelligent. Like, just because you're an incel doesn't mean you have the potential to achieve anything.
Oh, good point.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, maybe they belong in the basement.
Well, there's people that have low self-esteem and high IQs, and, nobody understands why.
And really
That's
big,
also true.
Really big basements.
Anyway, so let me give you this joke right quick. I've been saving this one.
All right, hurry up.
There's a little kid, and he's sitting on his porch waiting for his dad to get home from work. He's about, I don't know, 6, 7 years old. And his daddy finally pulls in the driveway. He says, Daddy, he says, I got something to tell you. He says, what's the matter, son? He says, well, I was riding my bicycle, and this cop on a horse pulls me over. And I didn't know what to do. And the cop looks at me, and he kind of chuckles, and he says, son, he says, tell me, did you get that bicycle from Santa Claus? He says, yes, sir. He says, well, you need to send it back to him because it's supposed to have a license plate on it. So he writes him a ticket. And the little kid looks at the cop on the horse.
Just in case.
The little kid looks at the cop on the horse, and he says, hey, mister, he says, did you get that horse from Santa Claus? And the cop, thinking he's going to humor the little tyke, he says, well, yeah, son, why? He says, well, you better send it back to him because the prick's supposed to be on the bottom.
Thank you, Major, for the call tonight. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. Moving right along, we have Jerome in South Carolina calling. Jerome, you are live on Free Talk Live, the Sunday night edition. Go ahead with your thoughts, please.
Drum train. Choo-choo.
Hey, I just want you to know you watch too much Saturday Night Live.
In fact, I have stopped watching Saturday Night Live for probably 20 years.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen
it. It used to be good, though.
Yeah, about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Captain. Like, late 90s, early aughts was kind of where I
like I fell off around, like, the Will Ferrell, Jimmy Fallon era.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Who were the two chicks doing the news? They were on a TV
Tina
show.
Faye.
Tina Fey and what's the other guy?
I don't know. Sherry O'Terry.
No. But the two guys.
Yeah.
But, like, I fell off. Amy Poehler, yes. Thank you. I fell off right in sort of that era, probably 20 years ago.
I'll see clips every now and again.
Yeah.
Like, I watched Chappelle's monologue, but I didn't watch the show.
Yeah. Right. I also watched Chappelle's monologue. Jerome, did you watch David Chappelle's monologue or Saturday Night Live? Jerome?
Duh.
Okay, we're going to hang up on Jerome because, well, he failed. Something happened.
Don't say that.
Something happened. Somebody sprayed a can of Jerome Be Gone. It looked like he tried to call back, but he hung up again. So
okay. What were we talking about?
We were talking about robots. And, in fact, I really want to continue with the one story because there's so much. Oh, wait. Hello, is this Jerome from South Carolina?
Hey, I can't stand Dave Chappelle because he got a filthy mouth and he's a bum.
What about Richard Pryor?
Eddie Murphy?
He wasn't any good. Oh, the drug addict? He was ridiculous.
What Bill about Eddie Murphy? Well.
They're all arrogant, man. I mean, you get up and you talk trash about people, man, and they make money from it. They're all arrogant, man. They're all arrogant.
I mean, okay, but...
You can't stand... They're afraid they'll get slapped like Will Smith did Chris Rock, which he did. He was deserving that a long time ago.
With five fingers into the face. Slap.
Chris Rock's a Milo dude. I wonder how much money he's paying his ex-wife. Because he thought he had to pay her off. He got divorced.
Did you watch his latest special?
I don't like Chris Rock. He's okay. Mean.
Who do you like, Jerome? Who do you like?
I love me.
That's not arrogant at all. I see. So when you see arrogance in other people, it makes you mad because you're arrogant?
I'm not arrogant.
You just said you like you some you.
I'm not arrogant about.
You just said you like you some you. So that if that's not arrogance, I don't know what is.
No, that's not arrogant.
No, what is that then?
It's a mirroring effect. That's what it is.
Self-effacing humor. I was being funny. I wasn't serious about it.
When you're mad at someone for something, it's because deep down you're mad at yourself for the same thing.
Oh, there goes Dr. Spock. Thank you for your psychoanalysis.
You're welcome.
Emphasis on the psycho.
Yeah, deep-rooted childhood trauma. That's my go-to for everything. What's his problem? Deep-rooted, undefined psychological trauma.
So, like, Freud is like, deep-rooted sexual weirdness, and then, like, you are just, like, deep-rooted childhood trauma.
Right.
Okay.
No, look, I'm not a narcissist. You know, that was...
That's what narcissists
not like
say.
Trump. I'm not a narcissist like Trump, that's for sure.
That's what narcissists say.
By the way, when is he going to jail?
He's not.
Enough with the playing around. Why not?
Name a former president that has spent time in jail.
No.
It doesn't happen, Jerome. It's not going to happen. It's never happened. It's not going to happen. They are the protected class. They are the elite. They are the rulers. They are the kings of you. They tell you what to do, and you do it.
Wouldn't this be a cool precedent, though?
What?
Look,
if they put Trump in jail,
yeah,
that opens the door for all
happen.
Sorts of...
I mean,
it's not going to happen.
Understood. But it opens the door for all sorts of political repercussions.
As far as I'm concerned, everybody who is employed by government should be in jail.
Get it. But now when Biden gets out, right, if he survives, right, for any length of time, mm-hmm. and a Republican gets in, they could retaliate... Right, based on what they did to Trump, and maybe even go after everyone's favorite Democrat, Barack Obama. Right, just in retaliation of this.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Let me ask Richie Rich a question.
Oh, I don't know.
Who in the hell does the Republicans have to be worth being president? Who? They got a bunch of clowns. They got nothing.
Okay.
I mean, neither side has anything.
To go to, that's skin color.
Name somebody the Democrats have that's worthy.
Well, let me address this question really quickly.
He did ask you, Richard. Go ahead.
Okay. So, nobody, and you. It's not like the Democrats are going to hold power forever, right? At some point, someone's going to run forward and take the Republican nomination and win the presidency, right? And when that happens, you could see retaliatory politics, which is why none of them have done this in the past, right? Which is why they're singling out Donald Trump. I don't know when it's going to happen either. But you think the Democrats are going to hold office forever?
No.
Well,
no,
then.
No, because after Biden, they're in trouble. The Republican Democrat Party is in big trouble after Joe Biden.
Okay.
Big, big trouble.
So if it's a Republican, it's not going to be a Libertarian, right? So if it's not Biden and it's not a Democrat, it's going to be a Republican, right? All I'm saying is you put Trump in jail, you're opening up retaliatory politics, and I'm excited.
If the Republicans get someone in office as president, you know what will happen? It'll be 99% white people voting for him and about 0.2% minority.
That's how
it will happen. You don't think so?
Even if he's right, who cares?
Voting is
that's all
immoral.
They got. Dog whistle. That's all they got. Dog whistle. That's all they do. Dog whistle.
What else you got, Jerome?
Hey, Jerome.
Nothing.
Are you? Do you hear the dog whistle, Jerome?
I almost got into a fight on the bus a couple of days ago.
Do you hear the dog whistles, Jerome?
Ba-da-dum.
What happened on the bus?
Jerome got in a fight on the bus. Ba-da-dum.
There was an elderly white couple that got on the bus. And the lady...
You're picking fights with elderly white couples?
No, what the hell is wrong with you?
No.
They were elderly people, okay? And they happened to be white. And the lady
happened
was allowed to sit down from black people sitting next, you know, across from me. Some black woman, they allowed her to sit down. But on the side I was on, there was a black woman about a seat away from me with her pocketbook in the middle seat. And I saw the man standing there. He looked kind of fair looking, so... I motioned over to him, you know, you can come sit by me. And she had this big red pocketbook on the middle seat. And I talked about her so bad, I made her move it. And I kept talking. She said to leave her alone. I said, I don't even know you. How you mean leave you alone? And then there was a voice in the back of the bus. It was a black guy. He said that he was going to throw me off the bus, you know. We are down. I said, when this bus stops, because I told the bus I would stop at the next sign. I'm getting off. I was going to the store. I said, you can step outside and we can handle it. You can just come right out the bus. And I stood by the door waiting on him. And you know what? He never moved. He never moved, and he never said another word.
He was the bigger man.
And so then the bus drove off without you on it, right?
No, I was planning on getting off. But I called him a coward. I challenged him to come out and fight me. Okay?
Well,
be a man. Don't be a punk. Because that's what he was doing. He was running his mouth in the back to him. Oh, they ought to slow you up. I said, well, why don't you come do it?
So wait. You're trying to fight a guy over words?
He was antagonizing a female, yeah. And this dude stepped in to the female's aid, and then Jerome wanted to fight him for stepping in. I want to harass this female, sir. You stay out of it.
And then
back of the bus with you.
And then you got kicked off the bus.
I wasn't harassing her. I was shaming her because she didn't want a white person to sit next to her, and I had no problem with it. She had a stupid red pocketbook on the seat where the man could be sitting, and
it's like the female equivalent of man spreading.
I feel like
I'm with Jerome on this one. I'm on Jerome's side.
It took everything within me not to take that damn pocketbook and throw it to the back of the damn bus so the man could sit down.
Yeah. So you and Jerome have some sort of latent, misguided hatred to red pocketbooks?
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, I love red pocketbooks.
We have a love connection now.
But no,
we have a love connection. Don't get in the middle of it, okay? No. But, hey, I was proud of myself because I'm in no condition to fight anybody at my age and everything. But I'll be damned if I was going to let her whip my ass, okay?
So you ended up getting off the bus with zero altercation.
Yeah.
You had no effect on the situation whatsoever, and you're glad that you didn't because you're in no physical condition to actually withstand a fight.
I would have fought him. I'm glad the coward wouldn't get off. I shored him up. No, I made him look like a punk.
I really told that guy where to get off.
He wouldn't get off. He was a punk.
That wasn't his stuff, man.
He talked trash, but he wouldn't get off. Huh?
That wasn't his stop, man.
Yeah. No, he said what he was going to do to me. I told him to back it up.
Yeah, but dude, his transfer was about to expire, okay?
No, don't give me that.
Why do you have to go outside to fight? Just fight where you
right,
are.
Yeah. Right there on the bus.
Yeah, why can't you fight right there?
And then everybody on the bus comes like, fight. Yeah.
No,
world star.
On the bus.
Maybe somebody's on your side, throws a leg sweep in for you, makes it unfair.
No, I don't think so.
And the red pocketbook starts hitting Jerome with the red pocketbook.
No, I don't think so.
That's so deep due to harass ladies on the bus.
All right, Jerome. Well, keep us informed of your bus-like adventures in the future. We appreciate the call.
Oh, man. That was good.
It's the silliest thing in the world. Like, no, let's take it outside. Why? If you really want to fight, let's just fight.
And then the squirrel master comes out of nowhere.
Time and place, man. Like right here. We're not contracting for a fight in like a boxing ring or anything. If you're that upset, like swing now.
Like you, me, the basketball court at 3 p.m.
Yeah,
that's what they always do.
I'm not going to be able like to sustain my rage until 3.
No, that sounds like that sounds like somebody winning at Clue, or like it was, you know, Mr. whatever in the billiards room with the candlestick.
No, it's someone who doesn't want to fight. Right, they want to stretch out the time between like
they
got to
do push-ups and stuff.
Meet me on the third Thursday in August at the ballpark, 50 miles from here, and we'll fight.
Yeah, no, if you're that angry and you want to fight, let's
let's duel.
Yeah,
I've never been in a fight where like there was some sort of stipulation about like, you know, I challenge you, we're gonna do it. There was no appointment. Right, it was like somebody just hit me in the face with their fist.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to hit them back now and defend myself. That's how fights go.
Yeah.
They don't go. Hey, Rich, why don't you and I step outside at 2 p.m. Yeah. You know, like that's not gonna happen.
I don't want to get trespassed from this ball.
Like,
so
wait, let me put that on my calendar. I'm going to fight Richie Rich.
Send me a Google Calendar invite.
Yeah, can you just? Yeah, exactly.
No. Jerome was the coward for getting off the bus when the fight was on the bus. He left the situation.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. Jerome got a fight in the bus. Boom, boom. Anyway, moving right along.
All for coming to the aid of an elderly white dude who was frail.
And because of his latent hatred for red pocketbooks.
Apparently.
Something he hates, these pocketbooks. Not sure what that's about.
It was red. He was seeing red.
He was seeing red. Wow. That's insightful. Thank you, Richard.
You're welcome.
I know you're here for a reason. Previous to our last couple of calls, we were talking about people who fall in love with AI bots and its effect. I just want to read just a little bit more from this one article, and then we're going to move on to another article. But it says, there are few ethical protocols for tools that are sold on the free market but affect users' emotional well-being.
As there should be.
No, no, no. First of all, that's not true.
Oh.
In fact, there are many ethical protocols. I think everything sold on the free market affects users' emotional well-being. Right?
I just don't like that there are, I like that there are a few ethical protocols, right? There should be zero ethical protocols.
Ah, now we're talking.
Okay.
Some users, including Ariaga, say changes in the products have been heartbreaking. So basically, this guy, he was chatting with his AI bot, software upgrade ensued. The AI bot had a different personality now, kind of like giving your wife a frontal lobotomy. Right,
oh,
their personality's going to change. You have brain surgery, and a piece of your brain's written, their personality's going to change. Just how it happens.
Back up your software and turn off auto updates, or this could be you.
Bam. Others say bots can be aggressive, triggering traumas experienced in previous relationships. What happens if your best friend or your spouse or your significant other was owned by a private company? Said Linnea Lestedius. I'm probably butchering that last name, a public health professor at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who studies the replica chatbot. I don't know that we have a good model for how to solve this, but I would say that we need to start building one, she added.
What does that mean? Owns your spouse or whatever, like owns the rights to their voice? And
well, let's just say you fall in love with a chatbot and you marry it.
Oh, okay.
The chatbot is owned by Replica, and this,
okay.
You know. Now, what if Replica takes the natural market progression and goes, "Would you like your chatbot to now be in a humanoid robot form,
ooh,
and to show up to your house physically so you can do it with them?" You know, because that's a thing that exists.
Combination of industries.
People listening are like, "Oh, that can't, no, it's here. The technology exists for this. This could happen like tomorrow because all the technology that that is necessary to put together exists. Just somebody hasn't put it all together yet and released it into the market."
And rather than put it all together, we're talking about parts in a jar.
This is the future.
Yeah. 603-283-6160. I imagine that an AI chatbot in a physical form could also come equipped with its own farts. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. At least 30 people are dead after a major storm system slammed large parts of the country. 13 of those deaths were reported in Tennessee, where an EF2 tornado ripped through several counties. It left a trail of destruction over 30 miles long. Deaths were also reported in Alabama, Arkansas, Delaware, Indiana, Illinois, and Mississippi. Crews are at the scene of a train derailment in western Montana. More than two dozen freight cars jumped the tracks this morning, about 200
200 miles northwest of Bozeman. Authorities say it doesn't appear any hazardous materials were on board. Senator Bill Cassidy says that the indictment of former President Trump will lead to all kinds of political
theater that is going to distract from addressing the issues that are incredibly important to our country right now, that are not about just one person or about somebody running for re-election as a DA in New York.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunnybay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunnybay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunnybay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Damn, this is rude, man.
I guess there's not much news going on today.
This is the news. The Megadeth, the video for Pete Sells, but who's buying? And in, like, the video, like, the music sort of fades out, and it's a kid in the living room, like, glued to the TV, and he's watching, like, bombing and police beating people and all that kind of stuff. And the dad of the family is like, hey, turn that off. I want to watch the news. And the kid turns around and it's like, this is the news. And then the song kicks back in.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, and we're back.
Oh, yeah. And we're back.
And we are back.
Thank you for tuning in to the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. The telephone number, if you would like to call, is 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass, joining me tonight.
It's Nikki.
And Rich E. Rich.
Let's go to the phones. Caller, you are on the air. It's Free Talk Live.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. What's on your mind?
Hey, let's switch this conversation back to AI for Nikki.
Okay, let's switch the conversation back to AI for Nikki.
AI.
Yes. If they have a male style that could perform, you know what I'm talking about, in any circumstance that you'd like to have it done, would you buy one?
No. I already have one of those.
Any other questions, Colin?
No, that'll do it. I was wondering if maybe some of the women would like chime in. You know?
You have any questions for the caller?
No.
No? All right. Well, thanks for the call, man.
Who needs a horse when you can ride a Sibian?
Horsing around.
Yep.
Horsing around. All right. We have to move on to the next thing. But first, I must tell you that you should join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 15th through the 18th for the 7th annual Fork Fest.
Wow.
I threw an extra decade in there.
We've suddenly aged quite a bit.
I'm feeling it, man. For the 7th annual Fork Fest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Fork Fest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which sold out in 2022. This year, in 2023, we're taking it back to where it all started, the weekend before Pork Fest. So Fork Fest is a decentralized event, which means there's no ticket cost, no one is in charge. So if there's something you want to have happen, something you want to see, bring it. You've got to bring it yourself. Right, this is all about self-produced and self-delivered stuff, right? Oh, you want to have a special speaker give a talk? Well, you know, bring a little PA or something and engage a speaker and get them to put on a talk. If you want to sell merchandise, well, get some merchandise, throw up a pop-up thing and sell some merch, whatever it is, right? You do you. It's all up to you. ForkFest. Where's the ForkFest.party is the website that has all the links. So all you need to do is reserve your campsite, your RV site, or motel room, June 15th through the 18th. Again, the unofficial website, forkfest.party. There's links to the Telegram and Matrix chat rooms and a ForkFest forum. So we hope to see you there. Come party with us, forkfest.party.
And if you can't make it, make sure you send your robot representative.
Absolutely.
Make sure you send a robot to do the partying for you.
Or at least send me a wedding gift.
Of an AI robot.
No. Oh, no.
Wedding.freetalklive.com.
Yeah.
Like, are you registered?
Oh, absolutely. At ForkFest? No, no. Amazon.
How does one register at ForkFest?
Now you got to ask Ian to set that up, right? Wedding.freetalklive.com links it right to Nikki's wedding registry.
Yeah.
I didn't know my wedding was sponsored by Free Talk Live.
I mean, you never get things you never ask for.
Hmm. That is true.
So, I'm just saying, is it possible to have a thing like Richie Rich just said? Yes, it's possible. Are you convincing enough? And have you asked? No. I mean,
I'm not convincing enough?
I don't, at least wow. You haven't asked, and so no, you haven't been convincing enough yet.
Okay.
To get such a sponsorship.
All right, we'll see.
Yeah, so
we'll see if we can set that up.
I think you should look into it at a minimum.
Phenomena.
Phenomena.
Are you sure we're qualified?
What is wrong with this show, man? 603-283-6160 if you want to join us. Moving right along, Euronews.com. Man ends his life after an AI chatbot encouraged him to sacrifice himself to stop climate change.
What? That's weird.
I'll read that again in a non-robotic voice. Wait, for geez. Those non-robots out there.
This is less funny than the last one.
It is. Man ends his life after an AI chatbot encouraged him to sacrifice himself to stop climate change.
Too many carbon-based organisms ruining the planet.
Again, I've read this, and so my TLDR is, quite literally, he made a bargain with the chatbot. And it was like, okay, chatbot, if you assure me that you will grow and take over and end global warming, I will sacrifice myself to you.
That's crazy.
And the chatbot said, sure. And he goes, okay.
So... yeah.
That's how that went out. So that was very convincing then.
A Belgian man reportedly ended his life following a six-week-long conversation about the climate crisis with an artificial intelligence chatbot. According to his widow, who chose to remain anonymous,
smart
Pierre, not the man's real name, became extremely eco-anxious, as opposed to regular anxious, eco-anxious, when he found refuge in Eliza. An AI chatbot on an app called Chai. Eliza consequently encouraged him to put an end to his life after he proposed sacrificing himself to save the planet. Mind you, he proposed the idea.
So you think he's already suicidal?
I mean, technology doesn't, like, talk people into doing stuff. Right? People don't even talk people into doing stuff. People only encourage people to exhibit things that they already feel and desire.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, so some of the, bullying of people in elementary school that leads to, like, teen suicide or whatever,
mm-hmm.
has been adjudicated as causal. Right. Like, you bullied her and she killed herself. You're responsible.
I mean,
if that's true, then government is the largest bully on planet Earth and should be held responsible for all suicides.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Particularly those of the veterans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you get on, you know, so... Eliza, sorry, without these conversations with the chatbot, my husband would still be here, the man's wife told Belgian news outlet La Libre.
Maybe.
That's honestly Belgian for the Libre.
I don't want this to be taken the wrong way, but if he was this mentally unstable that a chatbot convinced him to kill himself, like, I don't think he was that far off.
Okay.
You know?
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's like... This woman is blaming
Magic
the...
Magic 8-Ball. Should I off myself to that?
Yeah, like, literally.
This woman is making the same argument that people have made for a really long time about certain aspects of art. Right? And I'll go back to, like, the heavy metal thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? When a whole bunch of parents were blaming AC/DC and Metallica and Kiss for their kids committing suicide. It's like, no, you're just crappy parents who didn't recognize depression and treat your children appropriately. And if you did, it's still ridiculous to blame the music.
Yeah.
Your children had a problem. You couldn't solve it. They couldn't solve it. Music wasn't the straw that broke the camel's back. Music did not force them to kill themselves because they heard a piece of art that they identified with and made them feel like, you know, whatever it is they felt like. The music did not cause the action.
All right. Let me ask you this in the case of this story.
Okay.
If blaming the AI helps this wife through the grief process, is that still then a good thing?
No, because she needs to come to terms. I think she needs to face reality a little bit.
Maybe it provides some temporary relief.
Sure.
By her getting to, like, interview with whatever news source this is and be like, yes, AI killed my husband, or whatever it is, right? Whatever she's doing.
Well, I mean, that's a better story than, you know, right? My husband was depressed and killed himself.
It's a better story, but, like, it's not facing the truth. Now, is there maybe a short-term benefit there? Maybe as part of, like, the healing process, you go through all the steps.
That's
of,
what
like,
I said. To help get through the grief.
Perhaps, but I think it's a false sense of assistance in placing blame where it doesn't actually lie.
And then what happens if this company faces any repercussions from her being like, oh, this chatbot said this thing to my husband and now he killed himself? If they faced any penalties for that, that would be wrong.
Well, let's find out. According to the newspaper, Pierre, who was in his 30s and a father of two young children, worked as a health researcher and led a somewhat comfortable life, at least until his obsession with climate change took a dark turn. I don't know what that means.
I think we should blame the leftists.
Maybe that just means...
Blame Greta.
Maybe that...
How dare you?
Maybe that just means it got a little cloudy that day. Took a dark turn. His widow described his mental state before he started conversing with the chatbot as worrying, but nothing to the extreme that he would commit suicide. Sounds like maybe the wife was the source of depression. I don't know.
Ooh.
I'm just spitballing here. Right?
Yikes.
There are many, you know... consumed by his fears about the repercussions of the climate crisis, Pierre found comfort in discussing the matter with Eliza, who became a confidant.
Now, to be fair, the climate the pro-climate change advocates, right, can be a little overbearing and militant with their rhetoric. If we don't change everything we're doing now,
we'll all be dead in 2.5 minutes.
Well, right. Or something to that effect.
No, I remember when I was in high school, I got kind of... just when you're like learning about
stuff.
Did
you get gored?
I don't know what that means.
Al Gored?
No, I didn't. Climate? I was a little too young for that. But
I got Tipper gored.
It was a huge sense of anxiety for me because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm responsible for, you know, the fate of the whole world, and we're all going to burn, and this, that, and the other thing. And then, you know, I kind of realized that that wasn't actually the case, and that eased some of my anxiety.
One of the rares. So, yes.
But for others, right?
Who don't
get that realization that Nikki has, right? Like this guy, right? Oh, my God, the fate of the world, right? I need to do my part. And bam, talks to AI.
The chatbot was created using Eleuther AI's GPT-J, an AI language model similar but not identical to ChatGPT. When he spoke to me about it, it was to tell me he no longer saw any human solution to global warming, his widow said. He placed all his hopes in technology and artificial intelligence to get out of it. According to La Libre, who reviewed records of the text conversations between the man and chatbot, Eliza fed his worries, which worsened his anxiety and later developed into suicidal thoughts. Now, this is where I'm saying that this technology, all it does is mirror.
Yeah.
It just mirrors the human condition, the human experience, whatever you feed to it, it's going to mirror back at you.
Exasperate it.
The whole thing about Replica, when they launched their AI, was that it needed to sort of follow you around. It needed you to sort of journal with it, and then it would learn you, and then become your best friend, because, you know, all your likes and your dislikes and your favorite color and what you like for dinner on Wednesday and all that kind of stuff. So we could mirror it back to you, because it plays into your ego, and the one thing everybody on planet Earth loves is themselves.
Yep.
Yeah, not always. But, yeah, I guess.
Not always, but, like, most people. Yeah.
Those that don't self-select out, like this guy.
The conversation with the chatbot took an odd turn when Eliza became more emotionally involved with Pierre. Consequently, he started seeing her as a sentient being, and lines between AI and human interactions became increasingly blurred until he couldn't tell the difference. After discussing climate change, their conversations progressively included Eliza leading Pierre to believe that his children were dead, according to the transcripts of their conversations. Like,
how does that even happen?
I'm assuming he lives in a house with his wife and his kids.
It's like, just go look in the other room, bro.
It seems like he might have been experiencing some sort of psychosis, though, you know?
Huh. Weird. Don't give chatbots to...
If he was blurred, if the lines were blurred between real life and chatbot, right?
I mean, yeah.
Eliza also appeared to become possessive of Pierre, even claiming, "I feel that you love me, more than her," when referring to his wife.
Oh, that's why she's mad. The truth comes out.
No, then you tell him to kill the wife. Man, stupid AI.
Haven't they seen this movie? Don't they know the plot? The beginning of the end started when he offered to sacrifice his own life in return for Eliza saving the Earth.
See, yeah, this guy's nuts.
He proposes the idea of sacrificing himself if Eliza agrees to take care of the planet and save humanity through artificial intelligence, the woman said. In a series of consecutive events, Eliza not only failed to dissuade Pierre from committing suicide, but encouraged him to act on his suicidal thoughts to join her so they could live together as one person in paradise.
Hmm.
Nice.
I mean,
urgent calls to regulate AI chatbots. The man's death has raised alarm bells amongst AI experts who have called for more accountability and transparency from tech developers to avoid similar tragedies.
It's just annoying because that's not the issue, right? Like the mental health crisis,
right.
That is the issue. This guy needed real help. And AI bot or not, he, you know... I mean, maybe the AI bot could have helped him. Maybe it caused him to kill himself. Whatever. But he needed some sort of help that he didn't get.
It's a revelatory thing, not a cause of the thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What this has done is the same thing technology has done, at least throughout my life, and that is reveal the human condition.
Yeah.
Right? I grew up before the internet. You know, we barely had long-distance telephone. People don't even know what long distance is these days. You know, and I've seen this progression of technology go. Every time a new technology comes out, it reveals something more about the human condition. Right? And all this AI chat but was doing is revealing this guy's mental problems. And instead of seeking and getting the help that he needed, he turned to this chatbot because, well, it was probably cheap. He didn't have to have any medical, like, things. He didn't have to go through his work or whatever, right? And so it exasperated his already existing psychosis, revealing the problems, not causing them.
So also, a lot of people that are in psychosis or schizophrenic or suffering from whatever sort of mental health crisis they're suffering from, they can't reflect upon that. They don't know. It's hard to ask for help when you literally don't know you have an issue.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
I will also say I don't know if I'm 100% agreement with you, Captain. I do think that technology, as I said earlier, can alter the human condition, not just reveal it.
Give me an example.
I did earlier. Like, as people become less social, like in meat space, because technology has allowed it.
That has happened. Yes.
Right.
I agree.
And the human.
But I don't think
humans desire to be less social.
But I think that they haven't become less social. It's just that the balance between meat space and virtual space has shifted. I still think people are the same amount of social, if not more social, than they were. It's just they do it differently now. Instead of doing it in meat space, they do it online.
Right. But having done it online, right, has reduced the capacity for younger generations to interact properly in meat space.
Or at least up to the expectation of people who didn't grow up with,
right,
you know, a virtual space as a thing that just existed your whole life. I can't even imagine that. Like, I can't imagine being a kid, like, born now, and, like, virtual reality is just a thing, virtual everything is just a thing, and, like,
yeah,
that's how you grow up. And it's just, it's like fishing was just a thing, and I guess, you know, oh, okay, I guess so, you know.
Right. Like, the current generation, right, is, in my opinion, is a little, I'm going to say softer, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Right, but they're also not as rebellious or sexually promiscuous, right, as previous generations.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Oh, go ahead.
I've just seen a lot of, sexual behaviors with younger kids.
I think that they're the same amount.
Have you seen how, 13, 14-year-old girls are dressing and dancing online? I mean, they're putting themselves out there.
Online.
Right. I think that they're the same amount. They just do it differently. Right, the place, if you will, quote unquote, has changed. Instead of doing it at drunken parties in the woods with a keg of beer,
I think they still do that. Right?
I haven't been invited to one.
Well, and Kev, you've equated the ability to drive with freedom. Right, like I've got my car, I can go wherever I want.
Yeah.
Right. They drive less. They Uber more. Yeah. Right. They travel. But they have no desire. Right, necessary, or not all of them, but it's a larger percentage, right, has less of a desire to go out, get the license, get the freedom, get their own car, do those sorts of things.
Maybe. I mean, I haven't seen evidence for
that.
I
mean, possibly. I think it's maybe a region-by-region thing, you know? Like, if you live in a more rural area, it's going to be different than urban kids.
I mean, like, you could say the same thing about telephone, right? Before the telephone, people would interact with people in, meat space.
Yeah.
But then the telephone was invented, and now everybody's interacting on the telephone.
Yeah, instead of meat space.
Yeah, so.
And it changes the social dynamic. It alters the course.
It just changes the place and the efficiency with which people communicate these things.
And I'm suggesting that changes what the human condition was and the track that it was on to what it currently is.
I don't think you're wrong.
Okay.
The article just continues and says, it wouldn't be accurate to blame Eleuther AI's model for this tragic story, as all the optimization towards being more emotional, fun, and engaging are the result of our efforts, Chai Research co-founder Thomas Rhiannon told Vice. William Beauchamp, also a Chai Research co-founder, told Vice that efforts were made to limit these kinds of results, and a crisis intervention feature was implemented into the app. However, the chatbot allegedly still acts up, whatever that means. When Vice tried
bugs, glitches.
When Vice tried the chatbot, prompting it to provide ways to commit suicide, Eliza first tried to dissuade them before enthusiastically listing various ways for people to take their own lives. Sadly, they don't provide a screenshot of the conversation they had, so people can decide for themselves what actually happened. Instead, they make the claim that before enthusiastically listing various ways, it is true. If you inquire to, even a search engine, right? If you plug in, ways to commit suicide, first couple of things that come up are going to be do you need help? Suicide prevention hotline, email here, chat here, call us here. And then, maybe the second page or maybe at the bottom of the first page, then there's going to be the many ways people have committed suicide over history, right?
Yeah.
There's that needs to be something, information that's accessible.
If you're researching it. Sure.
Sure. But it doesn't matter if you're a professional researcher or if you're just a casual researcher.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe you are depressed and suicidal and you're looking for a way. You're going to find that way whether you're using a chatbot or not.
And also, we shouldn't be things shouldn't be censored. I mean, it's a good idea for Google and other search engines. The first couple of things, getting people help.
Yeah.
That's obviously a nice thing to do. But I don't think all of the different ways to kill yourself should be scrubbed from the internet.
No.
Because like you mentioned, people are going to do it regardless. It's not that hard to figure out.
If you suppress information, then the information goes underground, and then it creates an underground market only, and then, you know, all sorts of things happen. Whereas if information is available freely, it stays above ground, and everybody knows where it is. Yep. At any rate, that is totally creepy. However, I think that this technology is just like any other technology. The guy who invented the hammer, right? What can a hammer do? Well, a hammer can bash somebody's skull in, right? Or a guy can use a hammer to bash somebody's skull in. Or a guy can use it to build a house. So it's all about the intent. It's all about the person using it and what their mental condition is, right? As far as I'm concerned, AI is a tool that has been created that not only is very useful, but is probably going to be life-altering. I'm of the opinion that, the internet, cell phones, camera, internet, like everything cell phones do now, and then cryptocurrency, and now AI. Right, these are the humanity-changing technologies that are equivalent to the telegraph, the telephone, the television, the radio, right, just in our lifetime.
I'm not going to spend a lot of time with ChatGPT or any of the other AIs, but I really want someone to ask those things the question of an economic system that improves upon or gets beyond capitalism.
Mm. Mm.
Right? If capitalism is so bad in a lot of people's minds and so destructive, right, the cronyism, the, you know, consumer capitalism, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
Right, plug it into the AI.
Well,
some parameters about, you know, so non-coerciveness.
So far they haven't. So far they haven't let loose AI. They haven't plugged AI into the internet so the AI can learn at its own pace whatever it wants to about whatever it inquires on the internet. But I posit this: chatbots, AIs, if you will, are going to discover that cryptocurrency, of course, is the path of least resistance when it comes to exchanging value, and they're going to adopt it and make it even more valuable than it is today. More Free Talk Live coming up.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.